All Hallows Eve message from the award-winning House of Spirits at Heritage Distilling Company. Our popular Spirits Advent calendars are now on sale, and not too soon for the holidays. After all, getting through the Yuletide season without 24 of our award-winning minis is torture enough. Get your Spirits Advent calendar today before they're sold out at a Heritage Distilling tasting room or at your favorite retailer.
Spirits Advent calendar, Heritage Distilling Company, Gig Harbor, Washington. ABV may vary by product. Please drink responsibly.
Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Can-Am ATVs, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics. It's The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710sports.com. And, of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, merchandise, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Good morning, Jason Brooks.
Good morning.
What's up, Rob Ensley?
How you doing, buddy?
I switched you up there. I threw the switch on you there.
Yeah.
So you see that?
That was really cool. Yeah. Man, I'm so impressed.
I'm impressed. You're so scared you don't even
Mr. Yamaha over here. Yamaha hat, Yamaha vest, Yamaha shirt, Yamaha. Well, I don't want to see what you're wearing under those jeans.
There. I figured the
Yamaha. If you are wearing anything under those jeans.
The Yamaha banana hammock.
What did I get myself into?
Exactly. Well, so welcome to your two-hour group therapy session for no salmon fishing for a while here for most of our listeners in Western Washington. So you need to kind of play the weather, take advantage of it. And we have lots of weather to play today. Wouldn't you say, Rob?
Pretty much hydroplaned all the way in here this morning.
I was skiing behind his truck there on the way up I-5. Yeah.
God, it was
got the old water skis out. Rain.
Pulled some water levels. We were just in here looking at the current stream flow conditions on the coast. Hump tulips, all of them are going up like rocket ships here right now. But actually, the weather settles down for you river fishermen. The weather settles down about Tuesday, and actually the later part of next week, it's going to be hammer time on the coast. This rain is sucking fish in right now. When those rivers recede out there, even here in the North Sound up on the Skagit, it's going to be hammer time, man. There's a lot of fish going to be in those coastal rivers.
Yeah, no question about it. But
and I'm already getting reports in on some chum showing up, which, you know, they get a bad reputation, but they're so much fun to catch.
Oh, they are so aggressive,
and they're already showing. And so when these rivers do drop, it's going to be crazy out there.
It is. And of course, you know, one of the things you're going to be able to do, WDFW is doing an outreach event. If you haven't done this before, early in November, we'll get the date pinned down for you, probably pop it out on Twitter a little bit later today, so many fisheries now are you're getting some help from WDFW. They're doing a squidding event a little later this month, and then of course the Hoodsport Hatchery Chum event. And that's a lot of fun. Joey Pyburn Raised Bait's going to donate a bunch of bait, and you soak an anchovy under a bobber and just catch a bunch of chums. But you're right, Jason. They fight, man.
Oh, they're so much fun.
They are a kick in the pants.
They're one of my favorite fish to go catch. I take my kid every year. We go out the first part of November, and it's one after the other after the other. I mean, there's so much, and they're so cool looking.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, they're ugly. No, those big gnarly teeth, the stripes on them, the tiger stripes. I love those fish. I love them. I love catching them.
I always wanted to have a couple of big, a pair of them mounted.
Me too.
I got a big king and a big steelhead. I got some stuff going
Chrome
on.
Chrome is nice,
there.
But that when they're
cool,
really
man.
Ugly
a
looking.
A big buck with a big hand. Mounted on the wall,
and can we do a little better marketing calling them dogs or chums? I mean, I've seen them referred to as calico salmon before or something, but they got the worst name in the business, right?
Yeah,
they're dogs.
Well,
salmon,
let's run down the show here real quick, but we got to get to this. I mean, right now there's some opportunity in the saltwater, I think, in Area 10, right, to catch these chums.
Yep.
Tom, I want you to dive into that a little bit. We're going to run down some of the show stuff here. In the meantime, though, we're going to talk a little bit about these electric bikes here in a minute, too. There's a couple of them in the back of your truck, Tom, right now. They're going to get used here
for the next couple of weeks.
I'm not saying
it.
I can't say it's a secret. But there's going to be some, hopefully, a deer on the back of one of those here shortly.
There we go. Say it. Yeah. In the meanwhile, go to blackmaxbike.com.
Oh, yeah. They're killer bikes. We got Todd Daniels jumping on at 7 o'clock. Talk about, some of the river ops going on right now. He's been doing quite well down on the Cowlitz, even though it's blown out right now. Again, when it comes back in, it's going to be hammer time. And
I don't know that the Cowlitz, did the Cowlitz go yesterday? I don't think it did.
Yeah.
Did it? Okay.
Yeah,
it
came up a little bit. And I talked to Todd yesterday for quite a while, and we're 6 weeks away from steelhead. from the first utterings of the word steelhead here. Thanksgiving is generally the kickoff in some of these hatchery rivers. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about that. It's definitely not too early to start getting ready for that stuff. And then our good friend Mario Frindy from Final Approach is going to jump on. Huge waterfowl company. If you anything to do with waterfowling, you know about Final Approach. He's the brand manager for that great company, and he's just a fanatic waterfowler, and he's hilarious too.
He's a great interview. There's no question about it. But you know, this is the type time of year that you need to kind of shift gears, because you know our saltwater program is really going to get constricted, because WDFW did the 4:59 and 59 seconds news dump on us yesterday, closing the winter crab season in Marine Area 8 next week. So the backstory on that is we were supposed to have a recreational season in Marine Area 8. Now there's areas of 9 is still open, and 7 still open, and 6 is as well. But the non-tribal commercials, the Cowboys went and kind of cleaned us out. So it's going to be closed starting Thursday the 24th until further notice. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that. We may get a little shot at a Christmas crab, but we'll have to see about that. But this is, you know, you just kind of need to change your focus a little bit of what's going on outdoors. And what's going on outdoors is this weather's providing a pretty decent hunting opportunity just about for anything you want to take a look for.
Well, you know, none of that, but also really quick, switching over, you know, talking about really quick, but don't forget, next weekend we also have the razor clams. So you've got other, for the people who are non-hunters and you know, so you have lots and lots and lots and lots of things going on out there. But you know, Robbo's the blacktail guy here in the room, and this rain I know has got you excited about those blacktails.
It killed me yesterday, because I had plans to get up yesterday morning early and get out there, and I was going to take my own mountain bike and go run around a little bit and look for a critter out there on around Hood Canal. But I got stuck in the office. But the rain, when I hear the rain this time of year, it just, all I think about is blacktails. And yep. I was out chasing them last weekend. I did an alpine hunt. Thanks to you, Jason, for sending me on that.
It's all good.
Goose chase. Yeah, Rob, you want to get up here about 8,000 feet? Right?
Don't forget the belay rope. And the
epic trip, dude. I'm telling you, epic trip into the Olympic Mountains. You gave me some spots, and thank you for that, by the way.
Worries,
I mean,
absolutely.
It was incredible. Yeah. And just randomly, I went by myself. Get up in there, and I look way up on this other ridge across the canyon, way over on their side of the valley, and here's a Hilleberg tent. Now, if you're a hunter, if you're a backcountry hunter, or if you've gone on a sheep hunt anywhere in the world, and you see a Hilleberg tent, you're like, damn, those guys are legit. Those guys are hardcore. Well, I get up there, it's the media manager for Hilleberg Tents.
Small
is in there.
World.
So we start hanging out. Yeah. I mean, the greatest guy anyway. So we hung out the whole time, hung a little bit. There wasn't much going on. It was really quiet up there. These things are in pre-rut. They're just coming out of pre-rut, getting into the rut here, but very little activity in the high country. I passed up one buck. That was about it. We ended up coming out. But I tell you what, right now, this weekend, it's going to start going a little bit. And if you listen to me in years past and you got out there and you actually found some sign and found some does and did your homework, from here to the end of season, it's hammer time. Get out there and tag out on a big blacktail here on the west side.
You can hunt vicariously through Rob by going to the Outdoor Line and jumping on his latest blog. He did a nice job on that, and that's called follow the X-Bolt, and go check out that. He's going to be packing an X-Bolt throughout the season. You know, Brownings are good firearms. I like those.
Well, I was going to say, and you talked about where you did find some deer, which was down lower in the timber, and now those bucks are starting to move down out of the high country on the Olympics, but WDFW has been doing a research for about the last 2.5-3 years now on blacktails. They actually got some collared down in the southwest Washington area, and what they're finding out is these deer really have a home range, a really small home range, other than the Olympic migrators, okay? We're talking about your actual little like the timber forest
lowland
areas.
Lowland
yeah.
blacktail.
Yeah, so if you found a buck this summer when they were in velvet and they're actually out around, you know, and you actually still see them, he's still there. So now with this rain going on, the rut kicking in, they're starting to get out of their nocturnal stuff. Now's the time. From here till Halloween, and closer to Halloween, as you know, Robbo, now's the time. In fact, Nelly, the buck you got, it was kind of getting a little ruddy, wasn't he?
No question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it. I mean, isn't that, and even the, you know, even my buddy, the butcher, Bob, the, you know, my friend over there, he noticed it too. He was getting.
Nelly goes pheasant hunting, shoots a buck. There is no God. Okay.
I wonder the conversation he has with the gamey when the gamey's checking his vest for the steel shot.
We're going
and he
there
pulls
already?
Out a slug. You know? Wait a minute.
Are we going there? We're going there already?
Oh, all classic.
Right. So. All right. I got to wear Hunter Pink for the very first time this weekend. So, all right. We're going to pop out of here for a quick break. And there may have been a rooster, a hen, a 2-point, and a regional roundup coming your way right now in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. That's Rob Ensley, Jason Brooks in studio today. Matt Nelson behind the glass. I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for tuning in this morning. 866-979-3776, locally. 206-421-3776. That is the Reverse Giant Hotline, brought to you by Wellcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. 710-710 is the text toy. And from 425, somebody riding around on Ladder 4 today is asking if the Wallace is open for coho.
Yeah, it's October 17th, emergency rule update, October 17th through December 31st, two hatchery coho.
Yeah.
So it is open.
That's a cool little opportunity right there.
Yep, opened up.
No question about it. So, and as fishing right now, because of the weather, because of the regulations, everything kind of gets choked on down, you know, hunting season comes a little bit to the fore, and you got this black lab named Bailey who comes with us in the studio, and she loves to go get a pheasant, and I hadn't really had a chance to get out yet, and so headed on, you know, the north end, and did a little pheasant hunt, and she did great. I mean, got on a nice rooster right off the bat, put it up, and thank
you got
goodness
it?
I actually got it with one shot, which you would have been shocked.
It died of a heart attack.
It did. I scared it.
Certain of it.
I scared it. Yeah, no question about it. And she grabs, she goes over, fetch it, gets her mouth on it, and does the prance on the way back. She was
so dead. Proud.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Her tail was back and forth. Yeah. And then she dropped it at my feet, looks at me, and barks right in my face. It was like, why aren't we doing this more?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So then, we keep working and ended up getting another hen, and then it was time for Bob and I to go, you know, kind of look for a buck, you know, because, hey, you know, it's blacktail season. They're starting to get more active. There's no question about that. And, you know, as luck would have it, second or third place we got into, you know, here's a beautiful two-point just standing there looking at me. And
how many yards?
You know, 40. Yeah, shotgun slug.
Oh,
you know?
Nice.
Yeah. So
Hornady,
you know,
slug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
so what shotgun are you using?
Using that Browning Satori.
What? Okay. But,
and
oh,
so there's
yeah.
A, and so
over under?
Over under.
Oh, nice.
So the so the top one is full, and the bottom one's modified. And you got to make sure the safety is right on that side that says O, right? Because you don't want to shoot a slug through a full choke. Especially with an overnighter. That's not a good deal. But and those slugs are like 240 grains, 250 grains.
Oh yeah.
Good night.
Dropping the hammer, dude.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Seriously.
Nice.
So, but what shocked me about that buck was he fat. I mean, really fat. He was 105 pounds. You know, hanging. Mm-hmm. So I was absolutely freaking thrilled. You know, after all
and
those.
You're done.
Well,
yeah, you hunted all 10 minutes.
Well, no, it was more. Yeah. Come on, it was more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like almost a couple hours.
So did Bailey go back and forth and bring you, embarking you in the deer?
No, I could not get her to fetch the deer.
Or was she ashamed? Huh? Was she ashamed of you? She had a forky. Forky Slayer Nelly.
Hey, I got news for you, man. Any blacktail?
Oh, trust me, I know.
Oh,
I know.
I mean, how many times have you and I stomped around the woods for days,
man,
not
you.
Even seeing one
in the rain?
The one that I will never ever forget. Is you and I stomped around the Wainuchi for 3 days.
We rode 19 miles one day on our bikes.
Yeah. And didn't,
that sounds like a good time.
Oh,
right,
it was so brutal.
Did not see a blacktail.
Oh, yeah.
Not one. Yeah, there we go. The electric bike time.
Yeah.
Didn't even see one. And then we get back to the studio, tails between our legs, and I'm at the Starbucks on East
There's
Lake.
There's a 3-point in the rhododendron bushes.
Running, seriously.
Yeah. Not kidding.
Just, I mean, that was the ultimate blacktail middle paw right there.
So for you blacktail hunters out there, you've got till Halloween on the general season, and then, of course, so the best time is coming up here. It's going to be the end of the season, the last 3-4 days of the season. This year is perfect. We've got great weather for it. Believe it or not, this terrible weather is great for blacktail hunting. Yeah. And if you're out this weekend and you don't see anything, don't worry about it. Just look for sign. If you can find some doe tracks, if you can get on a bunch of doe tracks and maybe some fresh rubs, because they're already rubbing right now, you'll be in business come next weekend. When these things start kicking a little more into the rut. And then for you mule deer hunters, you got through Tuesday over on the east side, and it is dumping up in the North Cascades right now.
So
a pile of snow up there.
That's probably a pretty good lead into our next segment, because if there's anybody that's got their finger on the pulse of, it's you, Jason Brooks.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you know, the thing is the wind. You know, you look at these storm fronts coming through and blowing through, and you know the blacktail hunter who does want to go venture over to the mule deer country doesn't understand that the mule deer do not like the wind. You know, the rain isn't that big of a deal. The snow really is helpful, beyond helpful. They love the snow. But that wind, they bed down in the wind. I mean, I've been out there summer days, winter days. Yeah. If it's windy out, they're bedding down.
Love the snow may be a very, very strong term for what they think about the snow, actually. But so tell you what, we're going to pop out here for a quick break because this weekend and on into Tuesday may be the best opportunity somebody close by has to go get a decent deer. You got your finger on a pulse. Talk about last weekend's check station reports and some Central Washington stuff coming at you here next on the Outdoor Line, powered by Yamaha Outboards here on 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI Shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle. Matt Nelson's running the show for us. Rob Ensley to my left. Jason Brooks to my right. I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for pouring a cup and tuning in. If you haven't poured a cup, I would highly recommend it. So our Central Washington, our Chelan correspondent, Jason Brooks, kind enough to join us this morning. And with this weather, Jason, it's been a long time since we had snow. And I'm looking at Weather Underground Mazama. Today, it's going to be a high of 33, a low of 23 and an inch. Tomorrow, we're talking about 2.5 inches, another inch on Monday. I tell you what, with these type of lowering snow levels, heavier snow in the higher elevations down to Stevens Pass, possibly even this evening, this is just a tremendous scenario for anybody that wants anything to do with an Eastern Washington mule deer, Central Washington muley.
Well, really what the key to that is, if you look at the forecast, is the storms are coming in and out, coming in and out, coming in and out. And that's what I talked about earlier about the wind. And so you're not going to get a lot of deer movement. They're going to hunker down, okay? But when there's a break in that wind, when the storm front settles down, whether the rain, snow, it's not going to matter. It's going to be when the wind settles down, the storm front settles down, then the deer are going to be on the move. If you look at Tuesday, the last day of the season, that's your first day of actually good, sunny, nice weather. The pressure system has settled down. That is going to be a phenomenal day. Unfortunately, it's one day. That doesn't mean give up, you know, up until that day. You need to call in sick
on Monday.
Pretty much. Yeah,
cash it in, baby.
Yeah, but
you are sick.
Outpass.
you look, a great blog, Andy Walgamont, does a great job over at Northwest Sportsman Magazine. You look at his stuff regarding the deer check stations, and everything was down, 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 down. Here's what happened on the opener that people probably aren't partaking in thinking about. You had a full moon the night before the opener. Now, you know, regarding the moon, but they feed at night. But here's the kicker. I was up in the Waterville Plateau on the opener helping my dad out because I'm tagged out. My son, my youngest son's all tagged out. He's up there the weekend before and got his deer. It was 17 degrees when the sun came up. Yeah. We're up there in the sagebrush, and it was 17 degrees. We're up there about half hour before first light, just waiting for first light. Big mistake when it's 17 degrees out. Yeah. So here's the thing. The deer fed up until the moon went away, you know, 2-3 in the morning. Then they bedded down, and now it's 17 degrees. Why would they get out of their bed when the sun comes up?
Well, and so, what a lot of people don't realize in a weather pattern like that is it's warmer late at night
than
it is.
Very much so.
The coldest part of the day is right
pre-dawn.
Before dawn.
Yes. And so those deer, we didn't actually start seeing deer move around until 9 a.m.
Wow.
Because they didn't need to. They're chewing their cud. They're staying warm. They're reserving their energy. So they're just hanging out in their beds. And it wasn't until about 9 a.m. that we actually got to see them. And now, but on the converse on that, so we're up there, we're cruising around, you know, and at 2 p.m., all the deer were out feeding. And everybody else was back at camp or back at home. Yep. You know, the locals had already gone home. They're going to go out for the evening hunt, you know, 2 hours before dark. And the deer had been out since 2 in the afternoon because they had to bed down throughout the morning. Now they're hungry and it's warm. And keep in mind, they're just transitioning from their summer coats to their winter coats.
Sure.
And so they don't really be out when it's cold out. It got warm. There's no wind going on, and now they're hungry, so they're up in 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're seeing deer everywhere, and almost the hunters are already, you know, discouraged and going home. So that happened on the opener. The good news for that is a lot of people did not get their deer, which means there's a lot of deer still out there.
Right.
You know, you get this mindset that you have to be out on opening day, the first hour, and by noon on opening day, if you haven't got your deer or seen a lot of deer, you start getting depressed, it starts setting in, and the failure starts. Really, no, no. This last weekend is going to be, like you talked about, Nelly, is going to be your best opportunity at a really good mule deer buck over in the central Washington area. It really is, especially if you can hunt on Tuesday.
Yeah, no question about it. And again, if you just you look at this weather forecast, Robbo, I mean, the first day that this stuff, you know, actually kind of looks like maybe by midday on Monday, things may be kind of opening up a little bit because, you know, it, but if you can get into a place that has a fresh snow, man, you can track them.
Oh,
you can see them.
Yes. Yeah, they're pretty obvious. The other thing that's going on right now, the waterfowl are moving in. Talked to a few guys yesterday. It's cold all to the north. If you pull weather forecasts all the way across the north, Yukon, Fairbanks, you know, Anchorage, all over Alberta, the birds are on the move. And we haven't had that in a couple of years. They're starting to move in here in the North Sound. I talked to Kevin John late last night after he got off work up there at Holiday Sports. He said, yeah, the birds are coming in. Not much. For some reason, the snows haven't quite moved in big time up there. They're getting limits. I know a couple of the good guys up on the north end that are getting some limits, but they're still kind of lagging behind there on that huge, huge forecast up there. But back in the Midwest, they've got this new the Ross geese back there completely out of hand. We're going to talk to Mario Frini about that in a little bit. He was just up in Alberta, and he said there was more Ross geese than they've ever seen ever.
So and that's kind of a cousin of the snow geese.
Yes,
it's
they
a
are.
Smaller.
Is it like a
smaller.
Brand?
Yeah, it's a small. Yeah. Yeah, but they're white.
Oh, okay. They're a white geese. Yeah. They expect some of those to hit Washington here. We get some Alberta birds in here a little bit later. Talk to Shelby over there. Plenty of birds over on the east side, a bunch of cacklers. So the good thing is, I guess, is that we've got cold weather to the north, and you waterfowlers are going to probably see a pretty good waterfowl season coming up here.
I'm just so thrilled that, you know, with all this, you know, bum salmon news we've had the last couple of years and crappy snowpacks and everything. I mean, it ain't Halloween, and there's ski areas up there already looking at opening up by Halloween. I mean, seriously, it's the snowpack we're getting right now, and it's got the feeling of an old school winter. You know what I mean? I don't see no Pineapple Express heading this way and knocking the snow out of the hills. No way, no how, man. I mean, you know, it's conjecture, but still, to get this kind of snowpack, get this early start on it, is wonderful for our water supplies.
Well, exactly, and I'm thinking always ahead to next year, next summer, and the fire seasons and those things. And so I'm excited to see this because that might keep that down. Of course, with the fires we've had the last 5-6 years, going back to the Carlton Complex fire, the Meadow Complex fire, the feed, I'm telling you, I was up in a burn area during the high hunt. I hunted in the high hunt in a burn area, and the amount of deer, the amount of feed, and the buck I got – It's swinging back the other way to where if this holds out and we have really good nutrition next summer, we've got a chance to get some really good deer population rebounding back up. The mule deer are finally coming back to where they should be in this state. So.
And again, the great news in the North Pacific is because of this active system we got coming in, it's busting the blob.
One of the ways to access these blacktails here on the west side or go get yourself a mule deer over there is with an electric bike. Are you kidding me right now? I've been looking at these for years. I just haven't been able to pull the trigger on one. And we just picked up a couple of them, Black Max bikes. You know, I got a bunch of friends that are really hardcore into mountain biking. They'll spend $3,000-$4,000 on a mountain bike, for crying out loud. I mean, they're beautiful bikes. Why won't you have a motor on the damn thing if you're going to spend that much money? These are actually, if you look at the range of prices across the board on these different bikes, these things are very affordable. I went and checked them out yesterday.
Yeah, and having not used one before, and it just, you know, go to blackmaxbike.com, but having not used one before, I know I got a couple buddies that have been using them. Do they have power assist you going up a grade? How do they work?
You can pedal them on the flats. Gotcha. When you go up the grade, you kick them into gear and give yourself a little boost and then get up over the top. Because let's face it, half the time, if you got a load, especially if you're right. I've hunted on my mountain bike for years, you can start going up a hill. I generally get off and push the bike up to the top and then haul ass down the other side. You kick it into gear and off you go. And these things will run 20 to 40 miles. I don't know about you, but the last time I rode my bike, 19 miles was with you years ago, and I'll never do that again. But but they're just sweet and they're totally silent.
That's
great way to go if you're at hunting camp.
Silent mobility when you're hunting.
You bring a generator with you. You crank up the generator. They charge in 3 to 5 hours. They're sweet, and they've got the killer one is this folding model. I think it's the San Juan Cruiser. It folds up. You can put it in the back of your little mini SUV. If you live in the city, it's a sweet little deal. They've even got trailers for hunters to put all your crap in and haul your deer or elk out with. Killer deal. Check it out. Black Max Bikes. I'm going to be using one here in Idaho later this week, Montana.
Yeah.
And hopefully Monday, Tuesday, if I can get out, I'm going to go chase down a blacktail here on the west side with that bike.
Yeah, so. you can go check them out in person at Pilchuck Rental, just north of 88th Avenue exit in Marysville.
Kitsap Tractor over in Silverdale.
There you go. BlackMaxBike.com. All right, we're going to pop out of here for a quick break. Raymarine Picks of the Week coming at you for the third weekend in October already, right here on the Outdoor Line, powered by Yamaha Outboard, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
Welcome to the Raymarine Picks of the Week here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. So, yes, there's some opportunities kind of slipping away from us. The weather's kind of changed. There's still a whole heck of a lot to do. Here's a heads up. You've got until October 24th for your winter crab season. We kind of took it on the short end of the stick here. WDFW's probably going to hear it on this one, that the non-tribals went 140,000 pounds over their quota.
Oh,
not even kidding. In Marine Area 8, you know, and so that basically shuts it down.
God.
There may be a little bit that's going to happen between now and the end of the year, but boy, I wouldn't count on it. If you are serious about getting some crab.
So what's the lag time and counting the fish tickets when they come in? Was there a 2-week lag on getting that information in fishery?
That's a good question, but we'll get Don Velasquez on the show and he'll kind of talk us through this a little bit later. It's a bummer deal, but you know, the bottom line is that they should have given them a series of 24-hour openers or something like that, or even a 48, but just to leave it open and let them go 100,000 pounds over, there's no excuse for that. Yeah, but you know, it is what it is. But you got another week basically to get your winter crab in, and you know, I already mothballed the boat,
that's ridiculous.
After I filled the freezer.
Picks of the week, we've been talking about this a little bit. Waterfowl hunting. Just look outside; it's duck hunting.
Yeah, it is. No question.
Yeah. Got a little bit more time. We got a break next weekend. We got I think from the 26th to the 2nd, it's going to be closed down. But you got right now to get out there and get some waterfowl. There's some geese around on the east side. There's some honkers around. Some snows up in the Skagit Valley. The duck numbers have been pretty solid. Both east and west, your pheasant release sites are popping right now. You've got through Tuesday to get a mule deer on the east side. You've got through Halloween to get a blacktail here on the west side. You've also got the late hunt coming up here in November on the west side. So if you don't get tagged out here by the end of this month, you got that hunt in November, which is actually a really good time to get out there. About 60% of the blacktails are taken on that late hunt.
4-day season.
Elk hunt's coming up here next weekend. The east side rifle opener for elk. Next Saturday, the 26th, and here on the west side opens November 2nd. Coastal rivers are toast
this weekend. Yeah,
but look at the forecast for next week. By mid to late next week, pretty dry out there. They're going to be dropping in, and it's going to be hammer time on the coast. Go time next weekend. Again, if you want to get out, get some fishing in, coho fishing is going to be solid. Jason, you mentioned chums earlier in the show.
Yeah.
If you hit the hump or any of those rivers, you're going to be fighting through the chums to get coho
or anything. That's
else.
The best part about it.
Oh, so fun. So back trolling quick fish out there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Or even twitching jigs. You'll just rope the chums
and
out
floating
there.
Floating a jig.
Oh, yeah.
Floating a jig. Watching that float go down.
Oh, yep. So much fun. The Skagit River came up a bunch yesterday, but boy, it's going to come in this week. Should see some action up there. I bet you the Cascade as well. We'll get a fresh little shot of coho up there if you want to do some bank fishing. The Wallace just opened back up.
Wallace opened back up.
Off the Skycomish, so there's some opportunity right there. We've got clam digs next weekend out on the coast. What, have they finalized those digs yet? I think we'll see an announcement here in the next couple of days
whether they finalized them. I clicked off of it. I can pull it back up. So
the other thing going on the east side, if you're an upland bird hunter, 4 hatches of quail this last summer. Perfect conditions over there. Jason, you were chasing chuckers over there as well here recently.
The last 2 weekends actually were there, quail and chucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good numbers of birds.
Very good numbers of birds. Very happy with that.
Yeah, so that's about it. On the saltwater front, Tom, there's a little bit of chum opportunity maybe in Area 10.
Yeah,
you got
Area 10 open through mid-November, and then we're kind of going to go into the winter of our discontent. But until then, yeah, and you know, I anybody that's still talking about late coho right now, I mean, I don't think so. Not with this. You know, I've heard a couple guys that have been out there kind of check it out, but there is a little blackmouth opportunity there in Area 10. You know, chum is kind of the name of the game right now if you're looking at targeting things. And here's the deal. If you have bad coho habits or bad Chinook habits, you're not going to catch chum. You need to look at these critters in the middle of the water column, okay, a little deeper than you normally were fishing for.
And a little slower.
And way slower.
Yeah.
And using bigger gear.
And purples?
Purples.
Purples and pinks.
Big purple hoochies.
Yeah.
I would still run a strip of herring on there. I'd run whole herring. I'd even run, you know, some big blue label herring down there at depth, either whole, half hitched, or in a helmet. Just get it down there. But you really need to be paying attention to your sounder. And this is the time where you're going to be marking fish in the middle of the water column, and those are the ones you want to pay attention to. And you're not going to be marking a bunch of bait, but you are going to be marking fish.
So, and you're talking about the fish coming into Puget Sound, the
absolutely,
north area.
Yep.
So down in my neck of the woods in the South Sound, down Area 13, which is open year-round for salmon, we had the chum fisheries down there. You're looking at more of like a terminal, almost like a bubble fishery. You go out to the mouth of the Nisqually, intercepted before they get to Minter Creek around Fox Island, Boston Harbor, Kennedy Creek. So now you're talking about where you can actually be out in the salt water with your boat, and you can pull into some of this, and you can actually twitch jigs. You can throw an anchovy under a float. You can throw spoons. You can throw plugs. You can troll. I mean, all these different options, small boat, big boat. It's a great way to get out and intercept some of these fish just before they're staging to go up the rivers. I see Rob getting excited over there.
Oh, and some of those areas are war zones. I mean, literally weed eater helmet, chest protector, might even have to wear a cup.
Especially one where you can get bank access to get the bankies out there. But there's some spots in your boat you can get away.
But here's
the
deal. That's what I was getting at. If you got, and it doesn't have to be a big boat. A little raft.
A little John boat.
Oh, a little John boat, yeah. Car top or whatever. You can anchor up out in front, a float with an anchovy underneath it. And you'll see these big schools of chums swimming around. Anchor up the boat, just chuck it out there and let it drift around. They'll pull that sucker down.
We just got done with a pink year. So imagine those pink schools back in August and early September.
Yeah.
But now they're 20-pound chum.
Yeah.
They're not 4-pound pinks.
Yeah.
You know?
You want to tear up some gear? Yeah, go catch a chum.
Yeah. And, up your leader size.
And I did misspeak with regard to blackmouth in Area 10. It's not going to open up until January 1st. So it's release Chinook in Marine Area 10, but is open through November 15th. And chums are open as are coho, but man, I think if you're going out there and you're targeting anything but chums, you're probably going to be working a lot of quiet rod tips at that time.
From the 253, Tom, there's a little forky chasing a doe in my front yard right now. We need your address, please.
Yeah.
And what are the firearm restrictions in the area? Just need to know what weapon we need to bring down there.
I really don't have a problem with it. You know what?
Nelly uses a shotgun. He's good.
The blacktail that will haunt me forever is the one that was in my mom's yard last year.
Yeah,
that
Jagger blacktail,
dude. It was at least a 4-point.
The neighborhood there are state record blacktails running around the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Seriously,
yeah.
Skyline up in
North Dakota.
Giants, North Tacoma,
North Tacoma,
in the neighborhood for crying out loud.
Yeah, someone hit by a car that would easily go Boone and Crockett.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Steve from Des Moines in Area 11. Did we cover this? Open for chums. Where in Area 11 would you work? Would you
I'd
work
have to look at Area. Well, let me before I point.
Well, let me answer this from the 360. How do chum eat? I tell you what, man. I smoked a pile of chums. Now, if you're used to catching Chinook during the summertime, you know, you're not going to have the big, you know, big belly thickness and belly walls on them, but they eat really, really well. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that are black and purple, okay? I'm not talking about December chums that you'd kick off your hook when you're steelhead fishing.
If you get them right now and in Puget
right
Sound, they're going to be okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're not the highest quality flesh you're ever going to eat, but they're okay. We catch them in Southeast Alaska and we keep them.
Oh, heck,
you know,
in the summertime,
fine.
Yeah.
The other thing we need to cover here a little bit here before we go to a break is this. Is the Lummies and the Yakimas coming out this week saying, you know what, we want these dams pulled down. Bonneville, John Day, the Dalles, they got to come down. They're taking a stand to bring back our Columbia River salmon and steelhead. Thoughts on that, guys?
I ended up doing a hit on Dory Monson's show talking about this. And I you know, after Dory came up to Sitka with us this year, caught his first salmon and, you know, had such a great experience. And then I hear him pop off on his show that, well, I'd rather have cheap electricity than salmon. And it was tongue in cheek, right? But still, this is significant because it's the first time that tribal leaders have come out and made that type of statement. We've heard subsequent to the SRKW task force the recommendation to remove the dams on the Snake, but this is the first time, Jason, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that significant tribal leaders have come out and asked for the removal of the lower three dams on the Columbia River. And the tribes have tremendous political horsepower and with regard to any type of habitat enhancement. I That one troubles me. I wish they wouldn't have put them in the first place. But now that they're in, I don't know that
it's going to be tough to unwind all that's been done on the Columbia River.
I don't know if you put that genie back in the bottle, because now you have an entire regional economy that rests on the shoulders of these dams and the Cascade Locks. And now, you know, Lewiston, Idaho, and Clarkston, Washington are seaports. They're deep water seaports because of these dams. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's just the fact of the matter. The challenge that Salmonids have traversing these dams, the most obvious aspect of this, obviously, is the adults that come up and are delayed in moving upriver because they can't find the fish ladder immediately, and that makes them available to pinniped predation.
Well, to answer your question before, they've actually opposed these things in the past,
sure,
but not collectively and
come right out and ask for outright removal.
And not only that, but also the fact that they do have some clout back in D.C. And I don't want to get too political on these things, but in all reality, the reality is, with the current administration, I don't see this happening until the administration changes. And we're talking about the pebble mine in Alaska is being proposed again because they're lightening up some of these EPA restrictions. So I don't see it happening. I think what this is it's another push to show, to piggyback off of our current governor's stance on salmon. They're striking while the iron is hot, and rightly so. And so they're like, okay, if we have this big push to bring back all these salmon to Puget Sound, wait a minute. I'm a tribal member from the Yakima, where, how about my home waters? Okay, the iron's hot. Let's strike now. Now's the time to get this out there, to get this done. Do I see them taking out these dams personally? No, because again, like you said, Robbo, way too big of an endeavor to do. And now, like you just hit the nail on the head. It's a bigger picture than fish. I hate to say that. You're talking about all the farmers and the polluters that they use this waterway as a main transportation because of the dams. It's a huge, huge picture that, just because somebody says, hey, we shouldn't have them, we all agree we shouldn't have them, doesn't mean it's going to happen.
It may be the most significant economic driver in Southeast Washington.
I think it's perfect that they came out and did this.
Oh, I don't have a problem with it at all.
It. Again,
too.
The iron is hot.
Because
right
I want
now.
More fish. I don't I do care. Too. All politics aside, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
We want more fish, too.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So get Absolutely. Off your asses and let's make more fish. Okay. Great. Wait a minute. If we're not going to take these dams down,
hatchery and wild coexist.
That's fine too. Yeah. Let's pour some more money into fish passage. Let's get rid of this 78 degree water that exists between these dams.
Yes.
Let's take a deep dive into some of the stuff. There's been $16 billion spent on the Columbia Basin and habitat enhancement. Everything else we do down there for these salmon. Let's spend $20 billion more. Look at the trillions of dollars that we make here in the Northwest. Is it trillions?
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned that last week. So, I don't know, whatever the economy is, there's a hell of a lot of money that comes out of the Northwest here, kind of on the backs of these salmon.
Yes.
At the expense of these salmon. Pre-dams, somewhere between 12 and 16 million salmon going up the Columbia River. I mean, all of this has been at the expense of those salmon.
I agree.
So I think it's pretty cool that they went out and did this. Maybe we'll get something out of this.
Yeah.
Let's get some more wild salmon out of this.
If we can't get the dams removed, let's at least get something that will fix.
We're going to get something.
I mean, how to word it. So I get what you're saying.
The reasons we're in the place we are was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when we had that snow drought, and we had that's when we really had a tremendous amount of pre-spawn
when all the sturgeon and the sockeye were dying
exactly.
left and right
and
in the middle of July.
So right now we're getting some help from Mother Nature. I just hope that this warm spell that we had, you know, is in the rear view mirror, and because we'll get a lot more help if we have a lot more water and cooler water. But you're right. The turning into the Columbia from a wonderful free flowing stream into a series of tepid slow moving reservoirs.
Lakes. Yeah, these salmon weren't meant to swim through a lake.
No, that's not what they're designed for.
So let's figure this out. The barging thing, I don't know if that really worked. We spent a lot of money barging these smolts up and down the river.
Right.
So maybe we'll get some money out of this, and I hope we do.
Start with increasing the flows.
Yeah.
Start with
we've done that. We're spilling more water now, and that's helped a little bit. But
July when it's hot, you know.
Yeah, and this isn't the first time we've had droughts. This isn't the first time we've had a blob.
No, it's not. But you're absolutely right. We need to work on fish passage above and below. I mean, we're talking about pinnipeds that are grinding the adults on the way up, and we're talking about birds that are grinding the smolt on the way out. And those are two things we really need
to address.
Speaking of
those cormorants, we ran them off those islands. Guess where they're nested?
Oh, I saw them.
On the bridge.
On the Astoria Megler
Bridge. On the Astoria Bridge.
Yeah.
So how do they get at them? You cannot get at those birds now on that bridge.
They just need to hang tarps. They need to hang tarps and just stop that, you know, in its tracks. But now, I mean, seriously, when we were down at Buoy 10, you saw it too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You couldn't get close. If the wind died down, you couldn't fish close to the bridge because of all the flies that were attracted by the birds and their droppings.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I mean, dude, it was like, we're getting too close to the bridge.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's get out of here. Yeah.
Before we get completely jump off, the person who texts about the Marine Area 11, it's closed. It closed
on
September 30th. So don't go to the salt. I was talking about Area 13, but you said about a text. I just want to get that out there. So.
Yeah, no question about it. We do have a jam-packed hour, too. Down on the Cowlitz, our buddy Todd Daniels, it's been really solid. There's been a bunch of fish down there. It's open for hatchery coho only down on the Cowlitz, but there's a lot of catch and release. And he's actually doing a project here, you know, on the Skycomish. We'll let him talk about that. But also, we're going to talk about a little winter steelhead preview with Todd Daniels. I'm looking forward to that.
It's right around the corner. I can't believe we're talking, but that's our first uttering of winter steelhead here.
The first
it's just
of
around the corner.
Yeah.
And then we've been talking waterfowl a little bit off and on here the last hour or so. We got Mario Frindy, our good friend for Final Approach. He lives down in Portland. Pretty much travels the West chasing ducks and geese all over the place. And no better guy to run Final Approach than Mario. And he's hilarious, too. He had me in tears on the phone yesterday. But we're going to jump on with him, 7:25. He was just up in Alberta, too, by the way, a little bit ago, sampling some of the waterfowling up there. So just epic stuff going on up north of us. But he's got a great report for us, as well as some intel on what they got going on Final Approach as well.
So. Todd Daniels, a little fall salmon, a little winter steelhead preview. The Northwest Outdoor Report, presented by Truck Vault. Mario Frindy, Final Approach. Roy Robbins is really wearing a whole lot more. We got a packed hour, too, coming at you right here on the Outdoor Line, powered by Yamaha Outboard, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
A dedicated football fan's breakfast from Heritage Distilling Company.
Ignite your inner spirit with a batch number 12 Bloody Mary.
Did someone say spirit?
Oh, yeah. Award-winning, too. Batch number 12 vodka for our award-winning fans. Stop into our tasting rooms in Ballard or Capitol Hill. Or tailgate with your own supply of batch number 12. From the most awarded craft distillery in North America for the sixth football season in a row. Cheers to football fans everywhere.
Batch number 12 vodka, Gig Harbor, Washington. 40% alcohol by volume.